Excellent. So we are into the Christmas season, and it's just takes over December, doesn't it, really? And so I thought at the beginning of the year, it would be really good to maybe just think about a little bit the God of surprises when we was thinking about Christmas. And, you know, a lot of what, you know, if you think back to that first Christmas, and in particular, there were two people that were really surprised, I guess, by that first Christmas was Joseph and Mary, really. And so thinking about that, I just thought, well, it'd be really good if we could think about Mary and the surprise, really, of Mary, you're going to have a baby, and the change that made to her life. And so I thought it'd be really good if we could get Nicola to talk about that. So Nicola's going to talk this morning, God of surprises, particularly how being a mum changes Mary's life. You got a little bit of experience of that now, haven't you? So let's just give Nicola a welcome, shall we go?
All right, well, I feel like I should begin my apologies now then, you see, because, well, two things really. When Paul sent round the order of service, as he always does, he allocated 30 minutes for this. So you'll be pleased to know that I don't think I'll fill anywhere near 30 minutes. You'll be pleased. And on the plus side, I did bring some tray bakes today to have with your tea and coffee afterwards. So, you know, less time of me talking, more time eating. I would add there's a limited number, so you'll have to fight over them. And the other thing I need to apologise for is that whilst I knew that that was what Paul wanted me to speak on, and I will speak about Mary, the thoughts, the musings that I had probably have taken a slightly different path to what perhaps Paul was expecting. But hopefully I won't get told off afterwards. So we're going to start. I'm just going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And this is the Message version, so it is a little bit different. It says, "A virgin conceives. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring forth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son as old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Then the angel left her. So Paul talked about Mary's surprise. See, to me, a surprise is when Tom brings me some flowers or remembers to put his dirty washing in the basket without being told. Those things to me are surprises. Yeah. When I looked up the word surprise in the dictionary, it said to cause mild astonishment or shock. Well, I think probably on Mary's part, to be told you're about to have a baby wouldn't have been all that mild a shock. I would probably say that that was a pretty big shock. And not just that, but something that in that first moment, to me anyway, it would have been absolutely terrifying. As many of you all know, because you've known Tom and I for quite a long time in church, in February 2017, so last year, we had a miscarriage. And that was a really difficult, really difficult thing. And I know that we've spoken about it before in church. And one of the things that this, you know, thinking about Mary and this surprise, You know, you give so much of yourself, your heart, this tiny little thing. Doesn't matter whether you've known about it for 12 days or 12 weeks, as it was in our case. You give so much of yourself, and I think that's what being a mother is, isn't it? To completely fall in love with something that is yours that, you know, you don't quite know yet. Sorry, excuse me. And as I say, the miscarriage was really, really difficult. You know, we had wanted a baby, and so to lose it like that was really difficult. But what was even harder for me, I think, at the time, was a few weeks after having the miscarriage, I was sat on the bus, and God told me, "You're going to have a baby at Christmas." And I can remember thinking, what load of rubbish. A baby at Christmas, that means I need to have this baby pretty soon, doesn't it? Or, you know, as in to get pregnant pretty soon, to be able to have a baby at Christmas. And this thought kept going around in my head, and I told Tom about it, and I just couldn't believe it. And I think part of that was I just didn't want to believe it. I was far too scared, terrified at what might happen if we did get pregnant again. Plus, on a really serious level, I really didn't think I was good enough for God to give me a promise like that, to tell me something and to really see it happen. What am I to deserve such a promise? Well, thankfully, as you can all see, well, actually, she's hiding at the minute. She's sleeping, I think. But God did fulfill his promise to Tom and I. And our baby, when we found out we were pregnant, when we worked out the due date, which you can do from all the calculation, whatever, she was due on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, wasn't she? And then they changed all that, and then, you know, she came a lot earlier. She came on the 2nd of December, so it is her birthday today. And there should be a little picture of her from her little party yesterday. So, hopefully. If you are on social media, you'll have seen that I posted this, because I'm soppy and I post pictures of her all the time. But she was very cute. There she is. I would say that she wasn't wearing a bow tie, that was a hairband. But as mischievous as she is, she doesn't like to keep anything on. So there she is, celebrating her birthday. You know, I look back and I'm disappointed in many ways in myself that I couldn't trust in God's promise. Because look at her. I know I'm biased. I completely get that. But she's beautiful. I just love her. And when I look at her, I see God now, because I see that she is what he promised me. And I think that's what I find amazing about the story of Mary when I've been reading it and thinking about it over these past few weeks. When she says in that verse, "I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled." So she went from being terrified at his first greeting to her to saying, "All right then, let's do it." How did she do that in like an instant? Because let me tell you, when I found out I was pregnant with Emma, I stayed terrified for pretty much 37 weeks. That didn't really change until she was here. And as we go on to read in that passage, verses 46 to 55, it says, and Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised." I find that so hard to understand, how she could trust him so completely. this complete and utter trust that she'd seen and heard these stories of what God had done in the Old Testament. And she was able to accept them as true for her life, that she could trust God that the things that he'd promised her would come to be. I mean, I was thinking about Mary, and I thought, she is bound to have had a few thoughts going, what if Joseph doesn't understand? What if he doesn't believe me? What if my family don't believe me? I mean, it's one thing to be a teenage girl and to get pregnant, but certainly back then, that was, you were an outcast. You were nothing and nobody anymore. I mean, girls didn't seem to have particularly great standing anyway, from what I understand. But she was about to be an unmarried mother. And she didn't have a guarantee that Joseph would still take her to be his wife. But even yet, even with all of those thoughts, she still says those things about God. She still is able to trust that he's going to bring good things to her life. She doesn't know how it's going to work out. She just knows it will. When you're pregnant, or for me anyway, maybe other mothers feel differently, but when you're pregnant, you start to imagine what this little person's going to be like. You start to think, oh, is it a boy? Is it a girl? Of course, we cheated and found out. But you start to imagine these things, but you can't really know anything about them until you see them. And as we've discovered in this past few weeks, they definitely start to show the little characters quite quickly. So there should be a couple of little videos of Emma. So I'm hoping these videos reveal a little bit of who Emma might be as she gets older. Hopefully. So I'm hoping she's not going to be a chef, because I don't think that's going to work out too well. But maybe a little bit musical, we hope. She's certainly better at drumming than I am. And very enthusiastic. I'm also pleased to add, those aren't my saucepans she's ruining. Those are Grandma's. And then there should be one more, I think. So I really hope with all my heart that she's going to praise God. I know at the moment she's, well, I think she's just copying us. But how amazing would it be if she is actually praising God? She's raising her hands to a God that she already knows is bigger than her, who's going to completely love her and protect her and give her everything she could possibly need. And she sings almost every week in church. So there's no excuse for the rest of you, okay? If she can do it, you can all do it. So that led me to think, what did Mary wonder about her baby? So the worship team are going to help me. We're going to have a bit of a slight interlude. We're going to sing a song to you. The worship team have been incredible at supporting me, and Gary particularly, in organising this song. So we hope you like it. I'm not... Oh, no, I haven't.
Thank you.
See, they say that it takes a village to... I'm back. Yeah. Isn't that a saying, that it takes a village to raise a child? Oh, that's it. Well, apparently it takes a whole team to finish a talk. But thank you very much. I hope you liked that. We had a lot of fun learning that over the past few weeks. Being a mum has definitely, for me, been the biggest challenge I think I've ever faced. You know, it's one thing actually delivering the baby. But that's only the beginning, isn't it, really? You have to learn how to feed it, and wash it, and dress it, and not drop it. And for me, one of the really big things was learning, my new identity. So before I was, I was Nicola, who sang in the worship team. I was a nurse, Tom's wife, and liked baking. And then suddenly it felt like, even though I'd had these months to prepare, suddenly I was somebody's mum and I couldn't quite figure that out. But hopefully we're getting the hang of it now. And I reckon Mary wouldn't have been any different. Because she'd gone from being a, I think they say, they can sort of estimate that she'd have been somewhere between 12 and 16 years old. So she went from being a kid, really, to being a mother and a wife. And having this huge responsibility for this baby. But, of course, as the question or the song asked, did she really know quite who he was going to be? But despite all of the challenges that motherhood will have brought her, I'm confident that she continued to trust in God. So, what can we learn from the story of Mary? So I know we were supposed to be answering the question, the surprise that was Jesus on Mary's life. But I think we should be asking, what can we learn from Mary? To trust in God and have faith in him. When I said that God told me on the bus that I was going to have this baby, I told you that I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But when Mary was told, she didn't doubt it. She said, yep, I'm ready. I trust you, God. So I think we can learn from that we can trust what God says to us. It doesn't matter who tells us, whether it's an angel or God speaks to us himself. We can trust in God and the promises that he makes to us. Ask how, not why. So Mary didn't then say, why? Why me? What's special about me? She said, okay, but how's it going to happen? I've never slept with a man. She was more interested in how God was going to fulfill this promise than why he was going to do it. And I think those are questions we can ask. I should have asked, how, God, how are you going to do this? You know, I'm so scared. I need you to strengthen me, to fill me with courage. But instead, I just said, nope. I don't know why you're doing this to me. Nope. I'm not ready. I don't want to. I mean, I did want to, but, you know, I was scared to be a mum. And then it says, and I took this bit from a commentary that I had been reading. Throughout her journey to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born and later visited by the shepherds, Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. And then that's Luke 2, verse 19, and verse 51, it says she treasured them in her heart. I really believe that even though she probably didn't understand exactly who this baby was and the sort of calling on his life, she was able to store up those things and trusted that God would make it all clear eventually. She had complete faith that it would work out, that this baby would be what God needed him to be. And I think we can learn obedience as well. It would have been such an honor, don't we think, to be asked to be Jesus' mother. Huge honor. But it would also have been the most difficult thing, I think. She's like the only person that was with him right from being born right up until he died. I mean, I can imagine for a parent to watch a child die must be one of the hardest things to go through. It must be awful. But to see him suffer in such a way that he did must have been completely heartbreaking. And she won't have known that, of course, when she was pregnant with him. But she was obedient to God to follow the task that he'd set her. She also was obedient in knowing the scriptures and listening to them. And she says, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She knew that there was a prophecy in the Old Testament about this coming Messiah. And she trusted God that that would come to be. That's what I think is great, that God looks at some of our characteristics that ordinary people probably don't see as being all that important. If you go for a job, they want to know that you've got a degree or that you've got such and such qualifications. God was more interested in her heart and who she was. She had no qualifications or credentials. She wasn't, you know, master's degree level with, you know, royalty in her bloodline. She was just an ordinary girl. But the characteristics she had, her faith, trust, and obedience, made her absolutely perfect for the job that God had given her. And that's what I think is amazing. And Paul kind of said it before, actually, that each of us have these abilities, things that God has given us, that we can use, that we can fulfill a task that God has set us, that he has made us 100% perfect for, if we are just willing to trust and have faith and be obedient. So I'm very sorry. I didn't answer the brief of how did Jesus change Mary's life, because if you've been around a child, I think it's fairly obvious that a child changes your life. Even if you don't have a child of your own, just being in a room with one, my gosh, it's knackering. You might have a headache afterwards. It's also a lot of fun and brings joy. I, without a doubt, believe that Jesus changed Mary's life. But I think the thing we should ask is how Mary changed our lives. Can we take away the fact that God can use each and every one of us as ordinary as we might think we are? Because to him we're not ordinary. To him we're perfect.